Superstition on the Air.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? You're about to hear another playlet in a series designed to disclose the origin of superstitions. This one deals with the popular belief that if a black cat crosses your path, it is a sign of bad luck.
George, don't drive so fast.
Why, I'm only doing 35.
Well, I don't care. It's too fast, isn't it, Joe?
Well, I don't know. 35 miles an hour isn't considered very fast nowadays, Mrs. Dillon.
Yes, but I don't think I... George, why are you turning off here? This isn't the way to the Mitchells.
Please, darling, will you let me drive? I know what I'm doing. This is a shortcut, and we...
Stop! George, stop the car!
What's the matter, dear?
Didn't you see that black cat run across the road ahead of us?
Black cat? Why, no, I was...
Was that all? Good night. I almost went through the windshield when you pulled up like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, but I didn't want George to pass where that black cat crossed.
Why not?
Well, we'd probably have an accident or some bad luck. You'd better turn back, George, and take the longer road.
I should say so.
You don't mean to tell me you're going back just on account of that black cat.
We certainly are. I'm not looking for any trouble.
And quite right, too.
Ah, superstition. What absurdities are committed in thy name?
You wouldn't find it very absurd if we were all hurt or killed.
Anyway, Joe, black cats are unlucky.
Well, it's a good thing there's no spirit of a good old Egyptian around to hear you say that.
What do you mean? What's Egypt got to do with this?
Oh, nothing much. It's just that the ancient Egyptians regarded the black cat as so sacred that they used to mummify them by the thousands.
Why, I never heard of anything so ridiculous.
Maybe. But just the same, black cats were highly venerated in those days. And for thousands of years, even into the early medieval days, until an incident that happened in Ireland changed the opinion of a great many people. Otherwise, we'd probably still think black cats were all right.
It must have been some incident.
Yes, it was. And it was all over the disappearance of a beautiful young girl.
How interesting. Tell us about it, Joe.
Well, this beautiful young girl, whose name was Sheila, lived in the little seacoast town of Wicklow in Ireland. And in this same town was a peculiar old woman, Sarah O'Connor by name. She was generally regarded as a witch because of her eccentricities and mysterious behavior. But the truth of the matter was that she was a clever go-between for many unsavory transactions.
When did all this happen, Joe?
In the early medieval days, about 900 after the Christ, to be exact.
Good old Joe. Always got his dates straight.
Stop interrupting, George, and pay attention to your driving. Go on with the story, Joe.
This Sarah O'Connor was in league with a gang of thieves who delivered to her their ill-gotten gains stolen in Dublin, another town. She, in turn, contracted with a Simeon Lowndes, a crafty seafaring merchant who docked once a year at the harbor of Wicklow to take the stolen valuables and sell them to other ports. One night, he and Sarah were discussing their illegal business.
Sure, and the devil himself couldn't trace the straight of that clever plan, Master Lowndes.
Aye, it's a good plan, Sarah.
And then you'd take the stuff aboard tomorrow.
Yes, for I sail the day after. And by the way, Sarah, there's another little matter I would speak of.
Yes, and what might it be, Master Lowndes?
For many weeks I've seen a beautiful damsel pass by my house every evening and cross the moorlands. She's of medium height, blue of eye, and she...
Has she tossing black ringlets and skin like a rose petal?
Aye, the very one. Who is she?
Sure, her name is Sheila. But there'll be small chance for ye, should ye be thinking of marrying the girl, for she's already betrothed to a young lad with whom she and her family are well satisfied.
Who spoke of marrying? Listen to me. I must have that girl. The very sight of her fires my blood. Get her for me, Sarah O'Connor.
And what will it mean to me, Master Lowndes, if I succeed?
You shall be well rewarded for your pains with a heavy purse, my dear. See that she is on board my ship tomorrow night. But work carefully, for should any suspicion fall upon me, it will go very hard with you.
Do not fear, Master Lowndes.
Very well, then. Now, how do you plan to go about it?
Well, You send me two of your most trustworthy men. Let them come ashore in a small boat and land just about a half mile on the other side of old Dugan's hut. That's a lonely stretch of the beach, and they'll be unobserved.
But the girl does not go so near the seacoast. She doesn't...
I know. She goes to visit her old granny, who lives about a mile across the moors. Now then, the man will leave the boat and go across the moorlands, a half a mile from the sea's edge. There's a hill on which are some huge stone ruins, and just beyond the hill slopes down into a little dell. The men are to hide in the ruins and await the coming of the girl and myself.
What do you mean? You are not going to allow yourself to be seen with her?
Do I look a fool, Master Lowndes? Nay, I shall keep close watch on her tomorrow. And when I see she's about ready to leave her home, I'll go ahead of her and continue as far as the road that crosses her path at the edge of the town.
You mean the crossroad that is alongside the wall that edges my garden?
Aye. Then I'll slip into the garden through the gate that is in the wall. And from there I can observe when she passes. And if she's alone, for sometimes her little friend Kathleen accompanies her, if that is the case, we'll have to wait another day.
But if people see you ahead of her, they may still implicate you in her disappearance.
You forget that me old cousin is your housekeeper and that I visit her often. And by the way, have you spoken to anyone else of your interest in this girl?
Nay, no one knows that I have even looked upon her.
Good.
What do you mean?
Then no suspicion will fall upon you, should you bear witness that I had spent much time in your household with me old cousin.
I see, yes. Good. Very good. Well, then, I will send the men tomorrow to the place you have mentioned.
And tell them to wait for my signal before they seize the girl. When I say, dreary, dreary stretch, that will be the signal. All the rest I will manage.
Very good. But remember, Sarah, there must be no slip-up.
Have no fear, Master Lowndes. Sarah O'Connor does not bungle what she undertakes to do.
Aye, you're a shrewd one. Then you will have her aboard my ship tomorrow night.
Aye.
Well, good night, Sarah.
Good night to ye, Master Lowndes.
It's such a foggy afternoon, Sheila. Why do you have to visit your grandmother today?
I couldn't bear to disappoint her, since she's been so ill, Kathleen.
Well, I'll walk part of the way with you. You're so thoughtful, Sheila, and I know how dearly she loves you.
She's been very good to me, you know, Kathleen.
Yes. Do you remember how she used to give us sweets when... Oh, Sheila. Sheila, look. There's that old witch, Sarah O'Connor, ahead of us.
Hush, Kathleen. That's not kind of you. Besides, no one can be sure that she is a witch. For she's never done anything wicked that anyone has known to be true.
I don't care. She gives me the shivers whenever I look at her.
Well, I think she looks rather sad and kindly.
Just the same, I don't like her. Ah, she's turned down a High Lane Road now. Thank goodness she's out of my sight.
Oh, Kathleen, it isn't like you to speak so ill of someone.
Oh, look at that big black cat, Sheila.
Where? Oh, I see it. It's running across the road ahead of us.
Yes, that's it. Oh, I hate cats. They're such slinky beasties.
What a big one it is, Kathleen.
And so black, too. Well, here we are at the crossroads, Sheila, and I think I'd better be turning back now. Why, where's old Sarah? I don't see her down the road, and yet it was only a few minutes ago that she turned this very corner.
Yes, I know. Well, I guess we walked slower than we imagined.
Oh, no, she's disappeared completely. Why, she couldn't have gone the full length of the road in such a short time. That's strange. You know, Sheila, my mother says that sometimes witches turn themselves into black cats. I wonder...
Oh, don't be silly, Kathleen. It's surely not such a long way around this walled-in garden, even if it does look big. So don't get any foolish ideas. Besides, she couldn't have vanished into thin air.
Not unless she happened to be a witch.
Oh, bosh, Kathleen. Well, I must be getting on my way. It's already turning dusk.
Really, I don't think you ought to go on, Sheila. After all, that's so peculiar about old Sarah. Won't you be afraid to come back alone?
Of course not. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Sheila. Now be careful.
Such a worry about me. Goodbye, Kathleen. How dark it's getting. Yeah, is that you, Kathleen?
Nay, it is Sarah O'Connor. Might I walk along with you?
Why... Oh, certainly.
It is a bit late for a young girl to be walking these moorlands alone. Aren't you afraid of the fae folk, my dearie?
I'm going on an errand of good, Sarah O'Connor. So why should I fear evil? Surely the Lord will protect his own.
Aye, perhaps. Perhaps. But 'tis a dreary, dreary stretch of wasteland here, dearie. There, dearie. This won't hurt ye. 'Tis only a sleeping potion. Hurry, men. Tie her up quickly. Pile her into the sack. And off with her now to your master.
And so the family and friends of Sheila searched for her without success. Kathleen told them of her strange misgivings when old Sarah had disappeared so suddenly, and the black cat had come from the very direction in which she had gone. But Sarah proved through witnesses supplied by Simeon Lowndes that she was not implicated in Sheila's disappearance. So the people came to the conclusion that Sheila, by crossing the black cat's path, entered into the realm of Satan's power. For as they stated, Kathleen, who had not crossed the path, was unharmed. So you see, the black cat was blamed for something it wasn't responsible for.
How do you figure that? Why, that poor girl crossed the black cat's path and had bad luck.
Oh, no. Don't you see that whether the black cat had crossed her path or not, she'd have been kidnapped anyway.
That's right, darling.
Well, maybe, but... Look out, George! Look out!
Good heavens. The whole front of the car is wrecked. And it isn't even insured.
And you took this road to avoid crossing a black cat's path.
And even when George gets the bill for the repairs, no doubt he and Mrs. Dillon will believe that if a black cat crosses their path, it's unlucky. Which only proves that beliefs die hard. Au revoir, and good luck to you.